Welcome to Torah Timecha Haftorah with the OU Women's Initiative. This week's Haftorah for Parshas Vayera comes from Melachim Beis Perek Dalet, Psukim Aleph to Lamed Zayin, chapter 4, verses 1 to 37. This week's Haftorah could aptly be titled The Tales of Two Women. Both are extraordinary figures, each facing significant challenges and ultimately experiencing miraculous salvation. Who these women were, and why this fourth chapter of Melachim Beis was chosen to accompany our Torah reading, is our journey of discovery this week. The first story, verses 1 to 7, introduces a widow who finds herself deeply in debt, at the mercy of a cruel creditor threatening to enslave her sons. Upon hearing her plight, Elisha asks her what she has in her home. All she has is a single flask of oil. Does this remind you of another miracle from our history? He instructs her to borrow as many vessels as she can from her neighbors, tells her to pour the oil into them. As long as there are containers, the oil continues to flow, filling one after another. She sells the oil, pays off her debt, and finds herself wealthy beyond her wildest dreams. The second is a woman in a very different situation. She has money. In fact, she is described as an Isha Gdola, a prominently wealthy woman, according to Mefarshim, and she is truly remarkable, exceptionally generous, and as we will see, discerning, heroic, and strong. She is known for her kindness and hosts Elisha Hanavi when he passes through her town. Realizing that he is no ordinary guest and is a true tzaddik, an Isha Elokim, who is kadosh, holy, she actually builds a room for this holy man, for him to be able to stay in privacy and comfort. Elisha is extremely grateful and wants to do something for her. Finding out that she is an akara, barren, unable to have a child, he blesses her. That next year, at Choveches Ben, you will merit to hug your own child. And the next year indeed, her child is born. So tragically, he falls ill in childhood and dies in her arms. Displaying remarkable composure, she places her child on the bed in the room she had built for Elisha, keeping her sorrow to herself, telling no one of the tragedy that had befallen her. She goes to find Elisha. When she reaches him, she cries out, "Did I ask my Lord for a son? Didn't I say, 'Do not mislead me?'" In verse 28, "Hasha'alti ben me'es adoni, halo amarti lo sashla osi," that she had not demanded a child, that this had been her fear all along, that Hashem was not going to give her a ben shel kayama, a child who would live, and that she had begged him at the time not to promise her something that would only turn into terrible heartbreak, that she could not handle the pain of this tragedy. And then comes the miracle. Elisha goes with her to her home, enters that room where the boy lay dead, davened the tefillah of a lifetime, focused completely on the boy, begging Hashem to restore him, and for the second time in history, Trias HaMesim occurs. Elisha calls the grateful mother in and says, "You can now carry your child, Vayomer Si'i B'nech." So these are our two women. The connection to our Parsha seems to be clearly, obviously, the Isha Shunamis. A woman truly descended from Avraham Avinu. She wasn't just compassionate and generous to the needy. She would actually seek them out, looking for people who needed her help. This is impressive, even before we find out that she was actually carrying her own painful burden, her own secret sorrow. She was childless. But rather than wallowing in her own troubles, she invested in others and cared for others. Are you hearing Avraham Avinu in the story? Also childless at 99 years old, recovering from a bris milah, our Parshas Vayera opens with him standing at the door of his tent, begging for guests, hoping for someone to help. For if he could not emulate God's kindness in the world, What is he? And the fact that in his kind benevolence, Avraham Avinu actually merits to host angels just feels so right. And likewise, so does the fact that the generosity of the Isha Shunamis leads her to host the great Navi, who will make all her deepest dreams come true. And the parallels between our story and Parshas Vayira continue. In our Parsha, we find that Avraham and Sarah do defy all odds and have a child, and so does the Isha Shunamis. And then Avraham almost loses his son in the Akedah, and of course, the Isha Shunamis' son actually dies, but experiences Tchias HaMesim. So this beautiful story of Isha Shunamis is truly a Parshas Vayira story, and we understand its place as our Haftorah. But what about the first woman? She, like the Isha Shunamis, is not named for us here. She is known only as, in verse 1, Isha Achat Mineshe B'nei HaNaviim, one woman who was the wife, or we'll find out the widow, of one of the Naviim disciples. Chazal revealed to us that her husband was actually the great Ovadia. And now we know her story and how they fell into such crushing debt. This is not the case of overspending and living beyond their means. This Ovadia and his wife were very wealthy. But when Queen Izebel devised her horrifically cruel plan to slaughter and massacre Nevi'im, prophets of Hashem, Ovadia and his wife initiated an elaborate rescue initiative, finding two caves they secretly hid 50 prophets in each. And that, as it turns out, was the easy part. They now were charged with feeding, taking care of, and supporting these 100 prophets and keeping them alive. And that costs money. So much money that it proved financially devastating for the family, leading to their debt. But Chazal tell us something fascinating about this Eishes Ovadia, about this poor, lonely, vulnerable widow. Chazal tell us she saved the entire Jewish nation. How? It was such a disappointing time when, although there were prophets tirelessly working to inspire and focus the people, they remained so selfish, so weak and feckless. And then, like a shining star in a dark sky, our Eishes Ovadia, who is so completely different than those around her, she stepped up to save the Nevi'im. She sacrificed everything to preserve their lives. And she does not only succeed, she becomes the merit, that light in the dark that Hashem was searching for. And now Hashem judged the entire nation mercifully. Why? Because if such a woman can exist in our world, an Eishes Ovadia, then indeed there must still be hope for our people. And so, not only did she save the prophets, she saved the entire nation in her merit. So, is there something in our Parshas Vayira that foreshadows Eishes Ovadia? I believe there is. In the very first chapter of Parshas Vayira, after Avraham's encounter with the angels, Hashem informs Avraham of the impending destruction of the evil and foredoomed Sodom. And Avraham proceeds to desperately, but ultimately unsuccessfully, plead and negotiate for their lives. If there would be 50 righteous people, would you save them? 45? 40? All the way down to 10. But each time Hashem reveals, there are none. Actually, I would, but there just isn't anybody good. There is no tzaddik echad b'sdom, not one righteous man in Sodom. There is no one to save the nation. The question that troubles us is, Hashem knew the grim reality, and he knew where Avraham was going in the conversation. Why let Avraham try so hard to defend Sodom? If there was actually no hope, why did Hashem even inform Avraham of this if he couldn't save them anyways? And yes, he did save Lot, but that was just a fraction of what he was hoping for. Given Avraham's loving and compassionate nature, was it so important to share this awful tragedy with him if there was truly nothing he can do to stop it? Sferno has us look carefully at the psukim that tell us, in Hashem's own words, why he chose to tell Avraham. That Hashem says in chapter 18, verse 17, V'Hashem amar ha-mechaseh ani me'Avraham asher ani oseh. Hashem said, shall I hide from Avraham what I am about to do? Verse 18, V'Avraham hayo yihye l'goy gadol v'atzum, v'nivrachu bo kol goyei ha'aretz. Since Avraham is to become a great and populous nation, and all the nations of the earth are to bless themselves by him. Verse 19, Ki yedativ, leman asher yitzaves banaves beiso acharav, v'shamru derach Hashem lasos tzedakah u'mishpat, leman havi Hashem al Avraham es asher diber alav. For I love him, so that he may instruct his children and his posterity to keep the way of Hashem by doing what is just and right, in order that Hashem may bring about for Avraham what has been promised him. So Sferno explains, I can't hide this from Avraham, Hashem said. His children will become important people in my world. And I know that if I tell Avraham the truth, that had there been 10 righteous people in the city, the entire city would have been saved, he will take this powerful knowledge and he'll teach it to his children, because they, his children, need to know this. Just how powerfully the light of one good person can shine through so much darkness. They need to know this because they can be that light and they can save worlds. Like who? Like our Eishes Ovadia. And what about us? We seem to live in a world filled with so much pain and so much darkness. And sometimes we feel so helpless as we grope our way through the sadness, the anger, and the pain. Our tale of two women, our magnificent Haftorah, demonstrates a different path, another choice. We too can respond to the darkness with light. We can be that light, the light of kindness, the light of salvation, the light of hope. And ma'at min ha'or doche harbe min ha'choshach. A little bit of light pushes away so much darkness. May we women find our inner Isha Sovadia, our inner Isha Shunamis, and may our light shine brightly. Thank you for learning together.